Greetings. My name is Reverend Anthony Kelly, and I am a pastor and teacher, author, entrepreneur, father, husband, grandfather, and host of the Shadows Project podcast. Throughout my 50 years of Christian ministry, prison ministry and criminal justice reform has by far been the most challenging. On this podcast, we will uncover the critical truths and justifications regarding prison ministry and criminal justice, and why it is important to the church and to our communities for engagement. Join me in hopes of spreading more awareness and recognition to this overlooked and mostly abandoned church ministry on the Shadows Project podcast. The Shadows Project podcast is designed to show local pastors and churches what, why, and how they can organize and develop an effective prison ministry by purchasing our training workshop package consisting of a 200-color slide PowerPoint presentation at a cost of only $49.95. To purchase your training package for your church, conference, congress, and convention, go to our website at www.rrministriesinc.org. Greetings, my brothers and sisters in Christ and co-workers in the kingdom building. It's a joy to be able to speak to you once again about this challenging and liberating ministry of Christ's glorious church, this ministry to those who are incarcerated. Therefore, I'd like to welcome you to episode number 9 of my Shadows Project podcast titled, How Shall They Hear? Effective Preaching to Prisoners. And we're going to focus on things you need to know about the crowd in terms of one's presentation of that message, of that word from the Lord behind prison bars. We will deal with issues of urgency in terms of some statistical realities. I call it a sobering reality. We'll deal also with knowledge of prisoner characteristics, knowing the difference between hearers and listeners. We'll also be looking at awareness of security concerns and the impact they may have on the preaching experience. And finally, we want to address how do you approach the pulpit with confidence in the prison worship setting? Because oftentimes visiting clergy are under tremendous scrutiny and pressure. And we want to also talk about how that can be dealt with in the confines of the prison facility. Now, when you look at these specific concerns about preaching to prisoners, I'm going to make sure that I'm also presenting additional training episodes which address other aspects of this preaching enterprise. We'll be looking not only at preaching in terms of the preparation, but also in terms of the presentation, which is also important, and also in terms of penetrating the very challenges such as fear, as loneliness, as anger, and how that preached word from the Lord must address those conditions and circumstances. You can also purchase, of course, my book publications to complement your prison ministry training workshop. And you can also go to that same website and get that information in terms of the textbooks. One of the textbooks that's used has the very subject of this podcast episode, and that is, How Shall They Hear? Effective Preaching to Prisoners, as well as another book, What the Spirit is Saying to the Church, a 21st Century Progressive Ministry Vision Plan, particularly for the church and the Black experience, but of course, to the church in general. And Shadows, Serving with Character, Competence, Commitment, and Pride in the Absence of Accolades and Recognition. Now, my third book, titled How Shall They Hear Effective Preaching to Prisoners, which is used in these next four episodes. It serves as the main resource for the training in these episodes. The book is primarily designed to recruit many more needful prophetic voices of hope and to show them how to effectively preach to prisoners in a condition of fear, brutality, loneliness, apathy, hopelessness, and despair. It focuses on not just what we must preach, but on how to preach it so that the gospel message of reconciliation and peace can truly be heard and accepted. It will point preachers to the proper homiletic and hermeneutic preparation, graceful, gracious, and grateful, life-changing presentation, and outright audacious penetration of the barriers that would keep men and women locked up in cages of complacency and dungeons of despair. This book unapologetically acknowledges the genius and great tradition of preaching, particularly in the Black religious experience, that so many more prisoners need to hear. But how can they hear the liberating, prophetic gospel of peace that deals with their individual lives, their family, and community reclamation and restoration without the genius of these polished, prepared, prolific, and prophetic witnesses? Oh, my brothers and sisters, whoever proclaims tidings of redemption does the work of God. The gospel is good news, even the best of news. For the God of the universe reigns, and he forgives the sins of those who repent. And so as we turn now to the actual module, again, this training module that deals with preaching to prisoners and focusing on the preparation, we need to be concerned about things that you would need to know about the crowd. You must understand the nature and condition of prison life. And that's why I emphasize in all of my training workshops, it's important to understand the very condition, not just the circumstances that you encounter in terms of the prison experience, but the condition of imprisonment. And that is a dysfunctional community. And that word from God must be able to penetrate those barriers so that that gospel message can truly be heard. The Apostle Paul in Romans, the letter he wrote to the Romans, to the church at Rome, chapter 10, verse 14 and 15, is the biblical basis of this particular episode. It says, but how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one in whom they have never heard? And how are they to preach, or how are they to hear without a preacher? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. And so again, I put it in the context of prison ministry. How can they hear this word of liberation, of restoration, without the preacher? And so we have a challenge to more of our preachers to engage in this prison ministry. All right. So when you look at preparation, there are some things you need to know about the crowd you're preaching to. And as I indicated, we want to deal with the urgency of the now. We're going to talk about the prisoner code. Thirdly, the awareness and role of security. Fourth, the role of discipline. Fifth, some do's and don'ts. And sixthly, the two-tier level of consciousness in terms of their being hearers and listeners in the crowd. And it's very important that you understand the difference between hearers and listeners in that prison crowd. But there is an urgency, that there is engagement in this prison ministry. And of course, the first thing you got to understand is that the chaplain is the key player in this whole ministry. And again, as I indicated in other episodes, in previous episodes, there's a certain approach in terms of the entree into prisons and working in prisons, volunteering in prisons, in that you must engage, you must communicate with the chaplain who's in charge of the religious programming of that institution. And there are needs that they have. Not only worship and praise ministry, but group Bible study and fellowships, local church religious materials can be a great help. And I challenge the National Baptist Convention and its Sunday School Publishing Board and all of our churches. Think about all of the discarded Sunday school literature that we've used over the years. What do we do with all of those used Sunday school lessons? Don't you know that they can be a tremendous blessing to the men and women who are in our prisons? Think about all of the literature that we have, that we discard. And I tell you, prisoners will be grateful, amen, for churches providing those religious materials, especially many of them who are from that Christian background. And so local church religious materials can also be a very good blessing to those in that crowd. One-on-one counseling and care, the pastoral counseling that pastors can offer. Also a pen pal writing ministry. That's an engagement where already in our churches we have missionary groups and other ministries we have that can include a pen pal ministry, just writing to prisoners on a monthly basis. It's not a whole lot of time involved, but it would really make a difference to hear from members of the body of Christ in terms of a pen pal writing ministry. And of course, we have the do's and don'ts regarding that, and the very way that you do that is outlined also in our training workshop. And again, these are just some ideas and some aspects of the work. We can't go through all of them on this limited time we have in this podcast, but all of these challenges and all of this instruction and recommendations are a part of the training manual and workshop presentation that you can acquire. You're dealing with family and marriage enrichment seminars, life coping and parenting skills development, especially for female prisoners. We must develop more and more ministries for our female incarcerated citizens, especially many of them are also parents. And then the visiting room ministry that our churches should be concerned about. But when you think about a prisoner society, and as I indicated, I got all of the statistics and the sources in my previous episodes that justify all of the numbers and disparities and so forth we have to be aware of. But we got to also understand how the prisoners themselves characterize their own environment. And these are some of the things I'm sharing now are some of the things that I've received in my interaction in my 25 years of ministering with prisoners, both as they have been inmates, but both they have also been participants and spiritual leaders and even inmate ministers who have had these conversations. And in the prisoner society, we say that many prisoners say, don't interfere with another prisoner's interest. That's key. Secondly, see nothing, know nothing, leave others' interests and business alone. Never rat. The penalty is heavy and oftentimes results in death. And I tell you, that's true. I've seen it happen in prisons, in situations where it would seem like it was such a simple fraction or infraction against another prisoner. But there's a certain code in prison. And there's also retaliation, and the penalty is very heavy. I've seen stabbings and even a killing because one person interfered with another person's relationship. Yes, in an all-male facility dealing with his relationship. And these things are real in the prison society. Also, they say be loyal to fellow prisoners. It's us against them in terms of that mentality. But play it cool. Don't be a tough guy. And I tell you, I've seen it in the prison environment. And even this approach to prison ministry, you can't go in prisons acting like you all bad and you tough, because the reality is there's somebody bad and tougher than you. And so even prisoners remind each other, don't try to be a tough guy, but do your own time. Don't be concerned with other people's problems. Keep your word only to other prisoners. And in that prison society, there's a mistrust of correctional officers. In that society, they also say don't steal from prisoners. Again, that penalty is very heavy. Don't sell favors. Do nothing for, quote unquote, the man. Also, don't be a racketeer. Wait till you get out. Then do your thing. And I tell you, there are some situations in prison where the prison condition and environment actually will produce criminality if those persons are not interacted with and if there's not a change of mind and heart. And of course, when they get out, they've learned how to do what they need to do on the way out better by their incarceration. So don't be a racketeer. They say, pay your debt. Don't be weak. Weak guys wind up being a punk in prison. And there's a code that says, fight even if you lose, because the rest of the prisoner population will respect you. But you can't be weak. Don't be a sucker. Don't be a fool and fall for the game playing. And then in that prisoner society among themselves, they say, don't trust correctional officers. This is a must, they say, because the man will mess you over. You got to understand in terms of how some prisoners in their mindset even see you coming in, wanting to do a ministry to them. They mistrust you in a lot of occasions. And what we have to do when we have the opportunity to minister in prisoners, we have to prove to them of our love, our concern, our capacity to really equip them with what they need to survive in that place. We have to convince them of our sincerity as Christians. Just because you have that name doesn't automatically give you the trust and the acceptance of prisoners. You got to earn it. And then we talk about the awareness of security concerns. Security must be understood to be the number one issue for prisons and prison officials. You got to understand that, brothers and sisters, that security is the number one concern. It transcends all religious programming and other activities and events. It can even determine if and when religious programming is justified or can take place in the context of confinement. Security must be understood as the protector who maintains custody, maintains control, maintains order. Must understand what the volunteer can do to contribute to the security and scheduling of continuity of your prison ministry program. You must remember that officers are in charge of the institution. Now, some might challenge that because many prisoners feel that they run the prison. And it's sort of a standoff because they know they may try to run it, but security always comes back and take it back. Prisoners must have authority before they leave your ministry area. And you must provide supervision with regular reports in terms of your prison ministry in consultation with the security concerns. Don't engage in conversation with prisoners that talk about correctional officers or talk about employees or talk about volunteers. Don't allow a prisoner to become too valuable in terms of assisting you. You got to understand, my brothers and my sisters, that we must love, we must minister, but we can't over-identify in that prison setting. And once you have engaged in your ministry, make sure that you end that session on a positive note. There are some things you need to know about the crowd. You need to know about the game plan. You need to know that security can even change and stop your ministry. I recall in one ministry situation in San Diego, I believe, we were giving a prison ministry seminar and we had a worship service. And the preacher was preaching. I mean, he was preaching in that tradition of that old Baptist preacher. I mean, he was bringing it home. He was taking them to the cross and leading them to Jesus. And everybody was up on their feet and the music, and everybody was celebrating. And the correctional officer walked in the room and said, "Excuse me, everything must stop. The program is over." And the prisoners, they knew how to respond to that. They sat down. But some of the religious volunteers did not understand where they were. And I remember one followed the correctional officer as if to convince him to let us stay to do the prison ministry. And of course, that was out of order because in the prison situation, you don't know why they said the ministry was over. You don't know why they stopped that program. Because again, you're in a dysfunctional community. And in that particular case, security outruled the religious programming because in San Diego, what happened was that the fog had come down from the mountains onto the prison. And on the prison grounds, you couldn't see 12 inches in front of you. It was just that dense. And so, I mean, there everybody had their shotguns and running and getting in place. And so they had to make security the number one priority because even the volunteers were in a situation of danger because no one could see who it was before them. And so we got to understand again the nature and character of prison life. And so in the workshop, we deal with the role of discipline, We talk about, again, some do's and don'ts for volunteers, what you got to do, what you should do. I got about 15 of those examples, and then some don'ts about what you should not do and what you need not do, what you better not do in that prison situation when you're ministering to prisoners. As I indicated, they are hearers, but they are also listeners in the crowd. Let me talk about hearers for a moment. And again, all of this is in detail in the training package as well as in the book. The hearers are those persons, both prisoners and security personnel, who are sincerely in attendance for worship, who are really there for fellowship and hearing the word of God. Prisoners and some security, they save too. They want to hear the word. And they come there with a sincere heart to hear what God has to say. These persons reflect those identified above who need encouragement and direction on how to deal with their circumstances, but even more, how to deal with their condition. There are also prisoners who come to worship just to get out of their cells or mingle with friends or for other reasons than worship. But as a former chaplain in both the jail and prison setting, I was never overly concerned about prisoners who would come to worship service for reasons other than worship. Because what I believed then and I believe now, and as I was taught in seminary and what my preaching experience has taught me, is that the people will catch on fire if and when the preacher does. And this means that the quality and authenticity of the religious experience in jails and prisons is always predicated on the preacher's ability to preach with authority, to preach with power, to preach with clarity, to preach with eloquence, to preach with style, and of course, especially to preach with relevance. It does not matter why they are in the prison experience. It depends upon what happens after they get there. And that is in the preacher's hand in terms of sharing that extraordinary word. And I'm sure there will be some in that crowd after hearing you preach, say, did not our hearts burn within as that preacher spoke to us along our way? On the other hand, there are listeners in the crowd. Listeners are characterized as persons who are in attendance at prison worship. And in order to scrutinize, to monitor, and report back to the prison officials if determined that the message being presented is somehow threatening to the ordinary functioning and operation of the institution. Again, remember I told you that security is always the number one concern, and it's from security that all of the activities are judged and based upon. And so these persons may be prisoners themselves, but in most cases they are security personnel and sometimes even higher ranking prison staff. And therefore the enlightened preacher, aware of such scrutiny by the listeners in the crowd, wants to make sure that what is said and how it is said does not jeopardize the religious programming for prisoners and the opportunity for your church or your ministry and others to engage in the ministry behind prison walls. The preacher must always remember where he or she is while ministering behind prison walls. That is, you're ministering in a dysfunctional community. And so those listeners are concerned, and you should be concerned, never to preach against the institution or the administration. Avoid preaching on doctrinal issues. There's already too much separation and brokenness on doctrinal issues. Stick to the gospel message of peace. Avoid preaching on controversial political issues. The preacher to be effective in jails and prisons must understand again the condition and character of jail and prison life. You're not at the Acme Methodist Church. You're not at the 55th Baptist Church of Chicago. But you're preaching in an environment that has its own life. And that word must be able to penetrate all of those barriers so that the word and the message of Jesus Christ can be heard. And so the preacher must have knowledge of prisoners' causal past and a number of other things I have here that I don't have time to really go into detail. But again, we have it all laid out in terms of how to present that gospel message of peace in terms of your preparation. You got to prepare, knowing what needs to be said, how to say it, when to say it in the context of a dysfunctional community. Now, finally, in the 10th episode of my Shadows podcast, the next one, I will be presenting the second of the four evidence-based strategies on how to effectively preach to prisoners behind prison walls. And the focus will be on the presentation itself in terms of things you need to say to the crowd. Unlike today on things you need to know about the crowd, the next session will deal with things you need to say to the crowd. And it will deal with inclusiveness, generality. It will deal with being able to express yourself holistically, to be able to make that word speak to everyone who's present, no matter what their age or race is. That word must be dealt with simplicity, relevance. And of course, you want to instill hope, but most of all, we want to move them to action, to embrace the faith life, which makes courage and perseverance possible in that prison setting. And so, brothers and sisters, you are cordially invited to join this movement toward relevant and redirected ministry to regenerate, reclaim, and restore returning citizens, strengthen families, and create safer communities. We must engage in proactive advocacy and reactive strategies to prevent crime and reduce violence. As faithful believers in the dignity of worth of every human person, after you have completed the training through my workshop, you will be able to move from right belief, which is orthodoxy, to right action, which is orthopraxis, in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ that brings spiritual health and wholeness to those who will hear his voice. Otherwise, the beat goes on. I hope you will join me and other persons in your networks for this most significant training podcast, now streaming on all platforms wherever podcasts are heard. Again, you can purchase your 200 plus color page prison ministry and criminal justice training workshop PowerPoint package. Oh, it's a great package, I'm telling you, for your personal training or for your ministry or your organization by accessing the store tab on our website, again, which is www.rrministriesinc.org, and you will be blessed. Again, I humbly thank you for this privilege to share this passion and challenge for engagement in what has become the most significant ministry of the church in the 21st century. I look forward to speaking to you on our next Shadows Project podcast. May God continue to bless you, your home and your health, and your extraordinary ministry. And remember to pray, plan to be safe, and persevere through it all. God bless you.